Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a wonderful Wednesday down here in the hot state of Florida. It's 93 degrees outside right now, and the temperature gauge says it feels like 100. So we're starting off the summer nice and toasty. Should be a good year to get your tan on down here. And so other than that, how are you doing today, Deb?
Get your tan on. Spoken like a 30-year-old. 62-year-olds don't get their tan on anymore. No, I'm happy just to not deal with tans at all. I don't mind getting in the sun and doing a little bit. I was out fixing sprinklers this morning, but laying out in the sun and watching my skin get burned is something I just don't have any interest in doing at all anymore. So, but Florida's a great place to get your tan on if you don't want to deal with it later on with sunspots and everything else. I remember when I was a kid, I was always in the sun, always in the sun. I worked in the sun, had construction jobs in the sun. Oh, heaven forbid anybody use protection. That wasn't macho enough. Even wearing a hat wasn't okay. So you ended up getting just cooked, especially with this lily white German skin of mine. It's ridiculous. I feel like I'm like a sheet of paper walking around. But I stayed nice and tan, but now I got to deal with these spots that I have to have taken off every so often on my face from that. And I tell you what, I'm blessed that I take enough antioxidants, Austin, that there's nothing serious about these spots, so I'm good about that. By the way, 1 in 3 Americans now are taking meds that have depressive side effects. A new study has just come out. 1/3 of Americans are taking prescription and over-the-counter drugs such as birth control pills, antacids, and common heart medications that may raise the risk of depression, researchers are warning on Tuesday. Guys, that's over 100 million people. Since the drugs are so common, people may be unaware of their potential depressive effects. Many may be surprised to learn that their medications, despite having nothing to do with mood or anxiety or any other condition normally associated with depression, can increase the risk of experiencing depressive symptoms that may lead to a depression diagnosis, says lead author Dima Clato, assistant professor of pharmacy systems, outcomes and policy at the University of Illinois at Chicago. The report was released 1 week after U.S. health authorities said suicides have risen 30% in the past 2 decades, with about half the suicides among people who are not known to suffer from mental illness. But, of course, many of these people are taking antidepressant medications. Guys, this is a major warning. I mean, antidepressants are the only drug class that carries a major explicit warning called a black box warning or suicide risk. Other common medications like blood pressure lowering pills, antacids known as proton pump inhibitors, and painkillers and hormonal contraceptives, the warnings are harder to find or simply don't exist at the packaging. But these antidepressants carry black box warnings that they may make you kill yourself. You know, it's so funny. Years ago, Austin, I got into a whole bunch of debates, gosh, on radio and TV and with a bunch of my medical colleagues, and they would say, oh, no, Prozac doesn't make you want to kill yourself. It just makes you feel good enough that you have the energy to go kill yourself. Now, you know, I've heard some stupid stuff in my life. No, that's what they said. And I would say to them, I'm like, gosh, what are you guys reading? Are you not reading what I'm reading? Oh, no, you're so depressed before you start taking the Prozac. Now you feel good enough that you want to go ahead because you have the energy to kill yourself. And I said, guys, if you really believe that, you got to be somewhere stuck on stupid. I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say. But that's what they thought, Austin, and that's what they thought. And now they're finally beginning to realize, because of the way it interferes with serotonin production, how it eliminates serotonin raw materials in the brain, and how it causes your serotonin levels to go to a point of like so low that you can't deal with anything in life and you've got to go hang yourself. And the thing I want to know too also is, how do you hang yourself from a doorknob? I need to know how that works. You get all these guys, for these high-end people, they hang themselves on doorknobs. To me, that just smacks of CIA or a hit, and they hook their bodies to a doorknob. I don't know how in the world you could choke yourself out hanging from a doorknob and basically not stand up. I haven't figured that one out, Austin. So it's one of those things. So, guys, if you're going to be around doorknobs, I guess you need to be careful. And if you're going to be taking antidepressant drugs, you need to really, really be careful, guys, because it's one of those things you really need to stay away from them. Use the 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan. Use the cod liver oil. Use the methylated B vitamins. Use the Hemla. Use all these different products we have at healthmasters.com to get your energy levels up. This morning, I remember I got up. Energy's a little bit low. Took out a bunch of B. I took, I think, like 4 B vitamins, 4 B complex, 1 B5, B6, 4 or 5 of the Hemla. I took the cortisol buster. I took it all. So you guys are in for probably a fun show today. So I really feel great right now. But the reality is this. If I didn't know what to do from a nutritional standpoint, Austin, how do I know that if I was in another life and I wasn't in this field that I'm in, that I may not go to the doctor and say, hey, doc, I'm a little bit down right now. What do I need to do? And he'd say, hey, look, I got some stuff. I got some Xanax. I got some Prozac. What do you like? I said, I get you pumped up really, really quick. Guys, don't go that route. I mean, I understand that sometimes it may be necessary, but I tell you what, it's just such a rare occurrence for it to be necessary. In every single case, you should always try a natural approach to moderate mood swings without the use of drugs. Austin, what do you think?
You're exactly right. And, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't realize now is that researchers have found more than 200 commonly used prescription drugs have depression or suicidal symptoms listed as a potential side effect. Over 200 drugs, guys. And the issue that we're seeing now more and more here, as Dad just said a second ago, we see the suicide rate climbing dramatically over the last decade to two decades. I mean, it's unheard of how many people are dying on a regular basis, and a lot of them are really true suicides. You know, I mean, I think the CIA and other black ops are involved in some of these high profile ones. That's just my speculation, but in a large percentage of the time, a lot of people just get so down from the stuff they're taking. And the issue that troubles me the most is that Nobody in the mainstream media even wants to slightly correlate the fact that we have the most heavily medicated population in the entire world, with the pharmaceutical industry growing exponentially almost every single year, with more and more sales, bringing in more and more money, with more and more drugs they release. At the same time, we're seeing more mass shootings, more suicide, more mental illness, more health problems, more people that basically are having so many issues they go on multiple pharmaceutical drugs, and nobody wants to address any of that. Nobody wants to look at that at all. At the same time, all these other things are rising. The pharmaceutical industry is growing like it's never before in this country or even the entire world. I mean, we're seeing the fact that over 200 drugs now on the market have depression or suicidal symptoms listed as a potential side effect. That should kind of raise some red flags right there, guys. And the biggest issue we see now with these drugs is that a lot of times people aren't just going on one medication anymore. They're going on two and three and four and five and six and seven and eight. And these drugs never, ever are tested in conjunction with multiple other drugs like this when the FDA approves them. Never. Not once. So when people start coming in, they're like, oh, well, we're going to put you on Prozac because you're depressed, and we're going to put you on Xanax because you're having issues with basically panic attacks. And this Xanax kind of makes you down, so we're going to put you on Adderall in the morning so your ADD symptoms don't kick in. And then at night, we know you can't really sleep from all the stimulants that we've been pumping through all day. We're going to put you on Ambien to help you go to bed. Dude, they never test this stuff. They don't start putting people on 3, 4, 5, 6 psychotropic drugs and amphetamine salts and sleeping pills all at one time and just say, well, it'll be okay. We'll see what happens. We'll see. And then all these people start themselves and dying, and they go, well, that's not our fault. Well, we can't be held responsible for that. We didn't do anything. The FDA approved these drugs. That's not our problem that the doctors overprescribed them or put somebody on 12 different medications. That's not our fault. You can't hold us accountable for it. It's crazy, guys. So exactly what Dad said. If you or your family or you know somebody that may be going through a problem like this, look at the natural approach. That's why we do so many different things with the different supplements, with the B, the COD, the 5-HTP, before you start going on a lot of these medications. And if you already are on these medications, then you need to talk to your doctor about whether other options he thinks that you should be able to try out and what other things he think may be feasible for you. So, yeah, Dad, it's sad to see. We see that the suicide rate is growing like this, but I'm tired of being the only one that's bringing this up with me and you talking about it, and everybody else seems to kind of be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why is the suicide rate growing? Why is the shooting rate growing? Why are people going crazier more and often? Guys, the pharmaceuticals, they're making hundreds upon hundreds of billions of dollars off the United States population every single year from this exact issue, and nobody wants to call them out. And the main reason is why? Because they pump in almost 70% percent of the revenue to the marketing and advertisement to the mainstream media that's on TV and internet right now. Why do you think Fox doesn't bring this up? Why do you think CNN? Well, you already know why CNN doesn't bring it up. Well, why do you think NBC doesn't bring it up? A lot of people are pro Fox. Granted, don't get me wrong. There's some good stuff that Fox brings up occasionally. However, when's the last time you heard them bring up a correlation between pharmaceutical sales and suicide risk? When's the last time you heard them talk about Paxil and what over $350 million in lawsuit payouts they've had to pay out in the last 5 years due to suicides and homicides directly related to Paxil? When's the last time you heard about that on Fox? I don't remember hearing about it. Why? Because the pharmaceutical industries control the narrative and control the media because they pump the most amount of money over anybody else into the marketing and advertisement sector of these mainstream media corporations, and that is just a fact. You can look it up, so there's no reason to get argumentative about it. Look at the numbers, and it proves my point right there with it, Dad.
Okay, I'm going to go esoteric for a second on this. If you didn't hear the show I did on Hagman on Friday night, the first hour, you need to listen to it. Actually, it starts about an hour and 20, about 8, I think it starts at 7:20, and we go into the detail of the sorcerers. We break it down all the way from Genesis through Genesis chapter 6 all the way to today as far as the sorcerers. Now, the sorcerers they're referred to over and over again in the Bible if you look in the Greek and in the Hebrew. Acts 13:16 and Acts 13:8. The Greek word magos also means magician, wise man, or sorcerer. Number two, sorceries, Isaiah 47:19 and 12 Hebrews. The word is kershep, meaning practice magic or sorcery, witchcraft, Old Testament. Acts 8:11, the word meaning magia, meaning to practice magic, use sorcery, New Testament. The Bible keeps calling these guys out, what I talked about on Friday night. Acts 8:9, Greek word magia, meaning to practice magic using sorcery, New Testament. Revelation 9:21, Greek word pharmakia, meaning pharmacy, medication, drugs, sorcery, witchcraft, magic. Revelation 18:23, Greek word pharmakia, meaning pharmacy, medication, drugs, sorcery, witchcraft, magic. And also on sorcerers, the following four places of scripture in the Old Testament carry the same meaning. Exodus 7:1, Daniel 2:2, Malachi 3:5, Jeremiah 27:9. Hebrew word kashap, K-A-S-H-A-P-H, meaning to whisper a spell, practice magic, sorcery, or witchcraft. Revelation 21:8, Greek word pharmakias, meaning pharmacy, pharmacist, druggist, poisoner, magician, sorcerer. Revelation 22:15, Greek word pharmakias, meaning pharmacy, pharmacist, druggist, poisoner, magician, sorcerer. Now, this is over throughout the Bible, over and over and over again. But you got to think through this. Satan will use drugs and alcohol to get a stronghold in your life. He loves it when you drug yourself with alcohol medication to get you high and get you hallucinating and get you so you're not frosty and you're not aware of what's going on anymore. We have to understand that a lot of people have gotten themselves inadvertently hooked on pot, hooked on alcohol, hooked on liquor, hooked on beer, hooked on cigarettes. All of these different things drug the mind and drug the body, and they don't make you as good as you should be. Now, you have to understand that's very important, but we also have to understand that this is being done to us on an ongoing basis because they want to keep us dumbed down. Now, they're doing it basically with the mercury and the vaccines and the adjuvants and the aluminum in the vaccines, because they've used these types of potions and poisons for thousands of years to keep people stupid and dumbed down. Okay, you say, tell me how that happens. Okay, here's another article. What's in century-old snake oil medicines, mercury, and lead? A chemical analysis of early 1900 medications billed as cure-alls revealed vitamins and calcium along with toxic compound. And what this article does, it goes into detail on what these guys did, who these guys are, and what they were involved in as far as the Old Testament and other products are concerned with what's going on. The name of the article is The Rothschild Mercury Mines of Amalgam, Population Control Agent of Antiquity. Now, this is going to blow your mind. Throughout Spain and throughout history, there have been all these mines, basically, that have promoted and produced mercury. The problem with this was it was so poisonous, these people were dying so quickly, that they finally decided to start sending people to the mercury mines as a death sentence. The Romans used their mercury mines as penal institutions for criminal slaves and other undesirables. The warders were among the first to recognize there was a high likelihood that the prisoners would become poisoned from the mercury and spare the keepers from the need for formal execution. Mercury is a primary neurological poison causing tremors, extreme mood changes, and eventually loss of hearing and restricted vision. Certain forms of mercury poisoning also cause damage to the liver and to the kidneys. The lifespan of the worker in the mercury mines was tragically brief. Now, this also ended up happening with the Spanish crown and the money to conquer Central America and South America. German bankers gave money to the Spanish crown, and in exchange for those German bankers known as Fugers, the Augsburgs administered the mines during the 1500s and 1600s, returned loans to Spain. In other words, they were producing the mercury, and basically they were using mercury in order to produce and to purify gold. That's what they were using it for. Mercury was necessary to make the essential materials gold and silver. So German bankers and the Spanish royals wanted to extract mercury from the Maldon, but they didn't want to personally go into the mine, so they basically created this whole group of people who basically were the slaves and the common people who were duped into the job, and poor people had no other means to support their families. They were forced to work in these mines, which basically killed them. In 1566, the German bankers failed to meet production quotas as the mercury mines, in response to 30 prisoners, were sent by King of Spain to labor away. In 1583, it was now increased to 40 prisoners. The prisoners are also known as four Zedos, were selected from a group of convicts waiting for transport to the galleys in the jail of Toledo. In other words, they were going to their death sentence, so rather than basically killing them, they sent them there to die. I mean, this is nuts. All 24% of these people die before their execution dates, a slow, excruciating, painful death that came with an Alzheimer-type insanity was handed down to these prisoners as a result of the mercury poisoning. Slaves imported from northern Africa were also subject to poisoning at the mines, and by 1613, the slaves joined the four Eidos at 2-to-1 ratio. This concession was canceled in 1645, and the Spanish government took over the mines. Every last capital criminal was sent to the mines by amalgam by the court order in 1749. But since it was so many people, the definitive sentence was canceled by 1751. Now listen to this. This is crazy. By 1801, the penal establishment that Al Maldon was closed. Why? Because the ruling class managed to make people forget all about the fact that the mercury was toxic. Hard to believe, but they did. Something started to happen in the 1800s when the ruling class made the civilians forget that mercury was toxic, or at least forget that its toxicity was a crucial problem. Again, who knows what else they were being given to forget this. Remember, guys, we've been put on fluoride since 1946. We have been dumbed down IQ-wise and drive-wise because of what they've done with the fluoride. Mercury was purposely given, listen to this, purposely given to people as medicine throughout the Western world to displace the original disease. This was the era of allopathic medicine where leeches, mercury, lead, and other toxic metals were fed to people, and they called it medicine. They dumbed you down for hundreds of years so that you wouldn't understand what they were doing. And here's where it gets crazy. It gets ready for this. This is why I read this whole article to you. The Rothschild Bank, here we go, leased the Amalden mine indefinitely in 1835, and the Rothschild Bank had previously obtained the mercury mine of Slovenia, then known as Iridia. So the Rothschild firm had a monopoly on mercury for the production of gold until the discovery of the horrible new Amalden mine in California. It was during the exact time that doctors began using mercury as a poison to allegedly help cure disease. And this goes on and on. Look what they're doing now. Look what they're doing with the amalgam in the lead, in the fillings right now. Still, mercury is present in vaccines that are known to kill and injure people. Still, the standard in most flu shots, for example, despite quiet official government vaccine injury reports that over $4 billion have been paid out to people from vaccine damage, most people don't know how poisonous mercury is, and it's still being used in flu shots. I mean, think through this. This has been going on and on and on. The theory contends that the Rothschilds had a monopoly on mercury in the 1800s, in part because they were interested in convincing the civilian population to consume it. It is irrefutable historical fact that during the time in which doctors gave patients mercuries, the Rothschild firm had a monopoly on mercury coming from amalgam and iridida, which means they had a role in poisoning civilians with it. Why? They wanted to make sure that the population wasn't going to wake up, because these Rothschild boys, these are sorcerers. These are magicians. These are Luciferians. And that's why I read you all of the article, and I gave you all the scripture quotes, linking them back on what the Bible says. This is who they are. This is Harry Potter on steroids. This is these guys poisoning massive groups of people using mercury and aluminum and every toxic thing they can find on purpose, as they've done for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years, to control the masses and to dumb them down. Austin, what do you think?
Golly, man. I mean, you want to talk about some hard truth right there. And see, and this is obviously what they found, because this ties in exactly what you were just talking about a little bit ago. You know, we have the alcohol, which has been around forever. People fermented that from grapes. We have tobacco. We have cannabis. We have even have heroin from the opium and opiates. The issue with all of those from a globalist standpoint is you don't have to use them. If you don't want to drink or use heroin, it's pretty easy to stay away from them. If you don't want to consume those compounds, it's not a difficult task to stay away from. Some people may have dependency issues and may fight it more, but overall, in general, the majority of the population, if they don't want to use those products, they're just not going to use them. So obviously what these guys have done now is they've had to use essentially what you were just talking about there, their sorcery, their confusion, their mind tricking of the population, essentially with a modern day psychological operation, a psychop, to force the population into consuming these compounds that are known toxic elements against their will, or with their will, as far as them saying, oh, we'll take it, oh, we'll take the vaccinations, we'll ingest the mercury, we'll take the aluminum, we'll take the barium, we'll take these compounds because you're saying they're good for us, the dentist says it's good for me, the doctor says I need the vaccine, so we'll go ahead and willingly allow them to be injected into our body or ingested into our body in some way, shape, or form. And that's crazy. I never knew that, but I've known the compound mercury has been around, obviously, since the beginning of time, and pretty much it didn't take long for people to realize when they were exposed to this compound, they got gravely sick. I mean, as you just talked about before, I mean, it was easier, instead of executing them, to send them to a mercury mine, and they pretty much died within a very short period of time. So it wasn't hard to grasp that concept, that the compound was extremely volatile and very dangerous to any living being. But what is crazy to me is that these guys still use this stuff in vaccinations, and people do not care. They still blindly walk up, ask to be injected with a hypodermic needle from their nurse, and say, can I please have another flu shot? Bah. Can I have another flu shot? I feel sick. I really don't feel good, but I probably should have another flu shot. Please give me another flu shot. Bah. And that's what everybody does now, and it boggles my mind. And that right there, guys, is the exact reason why we do this show. Because it is our job to try to inform the population that does not know the truth. Because the truth is, they haven't figured it out yet that when they get this stuff, it makes them sicker. They haven't figured it out that we have to try to show them the truth. And if they decide they still don't want to listen to the truth at that point in time, it is out of our hands and there's nothing more we can do about it. But we at least have to try, whether it's on this show, whether it's through you guys, whether it's through you guys spreading our show or talking to people firsthand about the truth. That is what we have to do, is wake up as many people as possible. And if they refuse to wake up, if they refuse to see the truth, and at that point in time, it is no longer our responsibility because they've made their decision. But so many people now, because of what the media has done, as we just talked about, with the way they take the money in and the pharmaceutical drugs in, and they do not allow the truth to be told, so many people still live in the dark and they have not heard the truth. And that is what we have to do the best we can, is to wake people up, Dad. But great article with that mercury, man. I never knew that before.
Well, last night I was talking to Karen Rogers, she's one of our listeners, good friend, and we were going into detail about a lot of the stuff that happens globally, you know, with the Luciferians and what they do, and this child trafficking and all the things that they're involved in. I mean, it's horrible, but you think about it. If you drug children into a stupor, you get them hooked on these opiates, you get them hooked on these different drugs, and they have to have their daily fix of heroin or whatever in order to feel right, they're going to be a lot more compliant to do what you want to do to them. And like you were reading, like you were talking the other day about that horrible child movie that just came out about going to your happy place when you were basically being groped. I mean, this is some sick crap that we're talking about on the show. And guys, we're the only show that talks about this stuff. And you know, quite frankly, it's by the grace of God and God alone, because God protects us. But the reality is this, guys, no one else goes into these kind of details like we do on this show. Why? Because they don't want to touch these topics. The opioid crisis is an epidemic that's by design. This is an article by Lindsay. It says, an estimated 400 million people, all ages, suffer from depression, leading cause of disability worldwide. Yet when the cure is worse than the disease, you have an epidemic by design. 60% of Americans are prescribed a prescription drug to compensate for biological and mental imbalance, supposedly. I'm adding that. To escape pain, people are told to take synthetic opioids. In 2016, the opioid epidemic took 42,000 American lives. In 1 year, guys, while overdose deaths from all drugs took the lives of 64,000 Americans in the same year, an increase of 21% over the previous year. Now, here's what's really interesting about this. More than 1 million children right now under the age of 6 are taking psychiatric drugs. The CDC admits that opioid addiction has reached a crisis, with the number of children under 18 years of age admitted to hospitals for opioid overdose has nearly doubled since 2004. We are a nation that's being drugged into sedation. The opioid epidemic is an epidemic of pain and disconnection, the fallout of which shows itself in the number of deaths in addicts. Now listen to these numbers, guys. 76% of deaths from all drugs are from opioids. It's the highest among those of the ages 25 to 54. Men are twice as likely to die as a woman. 3/4 of the high school heroin users started with prescription opioids. 1/3 of accidental overdoses are in the 1 and 5 year old age groups. Did you hear what I just said? 1/3 of accidental overdoses are in the 1 to 5 year old age group, noted as accidental, a rise in opioid dependent newborns. Unbelievable, guys. Overdoses fall into one of two categories. Either they're teenagers using drugs intentionally, or they're kids who got it from their parents' medication. More than half of all opioid prescriptions in the United States are written for people with anxiety, depression, and other mood disorders. Now, think about that. It's not for pain. Half for anxiety, depression, and mood disorders, because they cause you to disconnect. Therein lies the problem. People with mood disorders are at increased risk of abusing opioids. The chemical imbalance theory, basically, there's no studies actually prove that, but the brain chemistry disorder called depression, this link was proposed in the 50s and the 60s by various scientists with serotonin reuptake inhibitors like Prozac and Paxil, but it's never been proven to even be true. Just because mood can be artificially manipulated with drugs doesn't mean that depression cannot be treated in other ways. 1/3 of people treated with antidepressants do not improve, 1/3, and a significant portion of these people remain depressed. Rates of depression and anxiety among young people in America have been increasingly steadily increasing for the past 50 to 70 years. Now, guys, this article goes on to say the undercutting cause of depression, mind, body, and spirit. Okay, now, there are all kinds of vitamins and minerals and iodine and magnesium can all cause problems of not having proper moods and causing depression. Now, that's number one. I got to say that. But here's what I'm also going to say is this. A lot of people don't realize that we're a three-dimensional being. We have a body, soul, and spirit. Our body is an uplink transmitter to God Almighty through an interdimensional interface that we call our DNA. This interface is constantly seeking for a link. It's constantly seeking to be locked into a circuit. It's going to sound weird here for a second, but stay with me. Our body has a vacuum on the inside of it that only the spirit of the whole Most High God can fill in us. And when we don't have that spirit filling us, and we're not being filled on a daily basis by the spirit of God, we have an emptiness on the inside that cannot be filled with opioids or drugs or anything. Now, I'm assuming right now that we don't have any vitamin or mineral deficiencies, that we're just taking supplements, but we're still depressed. We're taking supplements, and there's still an emptiness. We're taking supplements, but we don't understand why we want more from our lives. Here's why. When you were designed by God Almighty, and basically you were created, you were designed as an uplink transmitter with Him to stay in connection with Him throughout your entire life. We are not complete without the connection being formed. There's a circuit in us that has to run through our body, through God, through the Holy Spirit, through His dimension as we interface with Him. And without that circuit being completed, we're shorting out all the time. We're constantly shorting out, and because we short out, we're looking for other things to try to fix the short. Be it heroin, be it drugs, be it alcohol, be it cigarettes, be it pot, be it whatever it is. We're constantly looking for something to fill the void. Guys, the only thing that can fill the void and fix the circuit is what it was designed to be connected to from the very beginning, and that's the creator of the universe, Yahweh, and his son, Yeshua. Without that completed circuit through that interdimensional interface called our DNA, we can never, ever have the righteousness, peace, and joy that we receive through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Nothing will do it. And that's why so many people also get hooked on drugs. So many people get hooked on alcohol. So many people get hooked on cigarettes. So many people get hooked on pot. So many people get hooked on all these other types of drugs. Why? Because they're trying to complete the circuit, because they're trying to figure out what is in them that's making them crave for more and more and more. And the only thing that will fill you to the full fullness that you need to be filled is through the infilling of the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's it. Because I know that. When I was in graduate school at Florida State, I had my own apartment. I had more girlfriends than I knew what to do with. I had my own stereo, which is a really big deal when you're in college, and it's in 1975, right, or 1977 or 1978. I had a nice car to drive. Dad had taken care of me. Had a motorcycle. I mean, I was walking tall. But there was something that was missing on the inside, that God-shaped vacuum. And I knew that I needed more. So when I started dating a girl who basically invited me to church, I thought, let me give this a try. Heard a really good preacher. His name was Desmond Tees. He was at the church, the Christian church in Tallahassee. Started listening to him. I thought, you know what? This guy's making sense. And I became born again. And I was baptized. And everything in my life changed. And suddenly, I had the peace that passes all understanding when you keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Why does that happen? Because your circuit gets completed to God Almighty, and you feel the purpose that you're going to have for your entire life. That's what it is being a Christian. And people don't understand that, who don't understand what that peace is, Austin. And they're always trying for, well, if I get a new car, I'll be happy. If I get a new wife, I'll be happy. If I have another child, I'll be happy. Or if I have, you know, a new career, I'll be happy. Your happiness isn't based on happenings. Your happiness is the righteousness, peace, and the joy that comes through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And without that, you will never be complete, you will never be fulfilled, and you will never feel the presence of the Most High. You can't do it without it. And that's why all these people are hooked on all these drugs. And that's why they get hooked on the pornography because of the dopamine triggers. They get hooked on the alcohol because of dopamine triggers. That's why they get hooked on aspartame because of the dopamine triggers. And these sorcerers that run the whole show, they understand what dopamine is, what these drugs do. They know how to dumb you down with mercury. We just see the Rothschilds own the mercury mines. They understand how to do all of this stuff to you to prevent you from getting connected to the Most High God, Yahweh. That's why they do it, guys, because they don't want you to complete the circuit, and you can't allow them to stop you from your eternal destiny with God. Very, very important information today. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, that was excellent info. You're exactly right. And they figured out how to do this now, and that's why there's constant distractions to take us away from our true purpose and to basically shield everybody from the truth. That's why they're trying to keep so many people hooked on all this different stuff that Dad talked about. But switching gears a little bit, I just saw this. This is very important. This is a good win for the gun community. This basically just happened last night. You guys remember up in Lake County, in Deerfield, Illinois, basically the group came in that basically ran Deerfield, Illinois, and they said that they were going to pass a statute basically banning all assault weapons, anything with a detachable magazine whatsoever, any magazine that was over 10-round capacity, anything that constituted an AR-15, an AK, an Uzi, anything. And if you had it, and today was the deadline for it, if you had it, you basically were going to be charged $1,000 a day fine. Now, the whole thing about this that I really irritated me is some people were like, well, they're not confiscating the guns and they're not telling people, you know, they're going to arrest them and anything like that. I said, answer me this question. $1,000 a day fine. What happens if you don't give up your guns and you don't pay that fine? What happens to this when it starts accruing? But at the end of the year, you've got $150,000 in fine accrued to Deerfield, Illinois. What is going to happen to that fine? Is it just going to accrue in perpetuity? It's just going to have millions and millions of dollars that you just never have to pay and they never enforce it? I don't think so, guys. This is going to be one of those things that they're going to come in and start saying, we're going to fine you in the submission, and then once your fine goes over a certain balance, we're going to issue a bond on you, and we're going to either have a, you know, a U.S. Marshal, or we're going to have a Sheriff's Department, or we're going to have a bounty hunter come in and arrest you for not paying your fine. Well, the good news is Lake County Circuit Court judge now has issued a temporary restraining order blocking Deerfield from enforcing or putting into law any type of assault weapon ban scheduled to take effect today. The Deerfield ordinance, which was approved April 2nd, gave residents until June 13th to turn in any type of gun that fit the definition of an assault weapon, remove them from the area, or alter the weapon so they would not be prohibited under the ordinance. Residents found in violation will be fined $1,000 a day. Plaintiffs in two lawsuits challenging the authority to prohibit assault weapons asked Circuit Court Judge Louis Burnos Tuesday to prevent enforcement until the case could be fully heard. The judge issued a written ruling later on Tuesday granting the request. So it looks like now the hearing is going to be pushed into a, it looks like either July or August that they're going to be basically hearing this out. The fact that these guys up there in Deerfield even have the audacity to think they can come in and start fining people for carrying or keeping a certain type of firearm boggles my mind. But again, this shows you the degree of which these guys are willing to take extreme measures and not stop at any level to push their agenda. And the thing about this is that really troubles me, and this is why I got a real problem with the NRA. A lot of people go, well, the NRA lobbies for us, and they do this, and they do. They've done some very incredible things. But answer me this question. When's the last time we've had any type of significant gun bill overturned in this country, or in this state, or in your state, for that matter? When's the last one's been overturned? I'm talking fully put into law, and the NRA has come in, or any type of gun lobbying group has come in, or any Congress or Senate have agreed upon, and they've overturned a draconian, tyrannical, unconstitutional gun bill. Hasn't happened. Doesn't happen. They may stop some stuff from going into place temporarily like this, or they may say, okay, we're going to basically reverse the assault weapons ban from 1994 after it basically lapsed. But that thing was still just a beta test to see what they could get away with. We're not pushing forward. We're constantly being defensive in the gun community and in the constitutional community, where we're always fighting back when they hit us in the face and slap us in the face with mud and poke us in the face with a stick, and we finally start rearing up and saying, okay, we're going to slowly try to defend this, and we're going to pitch a big fit about it, and then nothing's basically going to happen, and those gun rights go into law. Perfect example of what we have down here in Florida. We're still trying to figure out what to do with this down here because we're constantly on the defensive. We just had one of the most draconian gun bills ever enacted on the state of Florida, and most people are just going, oh, it's okay, it's not a big deal. NRA says, we're going to sue the state of Florida about it and get it overturned, even though I've heard absolutely nothing about it whatsoever. The NRA even admitted that they were supporting the bump stock ban, which was unbelievably unconstitutional, and the verbiage of that very part of the bill will lead any type of further legislation in this state to completely and totally ban anything that they deem to be a bump fire stock, even if it is not a bump fire stock, any device, machine, add-on, or part that they deem to be. So we have to ask ourselves a question. Is what's happening in Deerfield, is what's happening in California, is what's happening in Florida, if this is not an occurrence that is irregular, meaning it's happening on a regular basis all this country, how long are we going to sit back and stop until we demand that the NRA and our legislators start doing something and supporting our gun rights instead of always backing up against the wall and capitulating? That's why I hear all the time they go, well, you know, if we give them this one, you know, it'll calm them down, and, you know, it's not that big of a deal. We'll just give them this win. Why don't we ever get a win? Why is it constantly tearing down and eroding our Second Amendment right, and we always sit back and give them another one, and give them another one, and give them another one, until eventually we're going to wake up in 20 or 30 years, and we're not going to have anything else to give them. Then everybody's going to say, we need to bury your guns. They're coming for them. Here's the problem, guys. At the very moment that you even think you have to start burying your firearms because they're going to be confiscated, that is the exact time that you do not need to bury them, and they are going to come into point where they have to be used for a further basically prevention of your gun rights and your life being taken from you. So when you start hearing people saying, well, you just need to bury your guns, you know, they're going to put this gun bill in, you just need to bury your guns. That is the point in time where you have to ask yourself, do we need to bury our guns, or do we have to actually defend our constitutional rights? So the fact that this got a temporary restraining order is good in Deerfield, but I'm going to follow up with this very closely to try to do anything I can to support these guys up there to make sure this does not go through. Because once city ordinances start being placed around the country and they say, we're going to ban this gun, we're going to ban that gun, that is going to set a pretext for every other city ordinance in the entire country to start doing the exact same thing these guys are trying to do up there in Deerfield, Ben.
Well, that's why the city government is so important, that you don't put a bunch of yahoos in the city government.
Yeah.
Because they can do stupid stuff like this. Now, the problem that you have up there with all these different liberals up north is that these guys, you know, have been brainwashed into believing the mainstream narrative of CNN. You know, I mean, they're interested in seeing who that one gay, that one gay guy is and who he's dating now as far as his male counterpart and the sick crap like that. And they don't really think about the real stuff that's affecting the country. This is the same kind of stuff that Lenin did when he started taking all of the guns away from the people in Russia with the Russian Revolution. And then he ended up killing 100 million Orthodox Christian Russians, Russian Orthodox Church Rus Christians. And he did all this because he was able to take their weapons away. And then finally they're locked in their homes and they're coming to take them, to kill them. And they have no way to defend themselves. The crazy thing is there may have been a dozen people that had come into each home, but if the guys had picked up a doggone fireplace poker or a doggone 2x4 and done anything, if they knew they were going to the camps to be killed or going to be taken to their churches to be burned alive inside of the churches, they've got to do something. At that point in time when the tyrannical government, and this is why our forefathers gave us the Second Amendment, because they saw what happened with England. They saw that England was coming in and seizing weapons and doing all the things they wanted and stopping the press. And the reason we had the Revolutionary War in the United States in 1776 had nothing to do with the press. It had to do with the pulpits. They had the pulpits. The pulpits couldn't be censored. That's why they've censored the pulpits now with the Johnson Amendment and all the other stuff that blithering idiot Lyndon Baines Johnson put in back in the 50s that was supposed to be completely gotten rid of. The Congress has to get rid of that law. Trump may make it more difficult to enforce it with his, you know, in his executive order. But the point is, this guys, if the guys, I'm trying to say something here without getting everybody mad at me. Okay, we've got too many men in the pulpits right now who've got lace on their panties when they're preaching. Now, that was pretty good. That's what they do. They got lace on their panties. They wear panties, okay? And you think, well, do they really wear panties? I don't know what they wear, but they act like they wear panties, and they got lace on them. So here's the problem. We need real men, okay? Kind of like I did a few minutes ago when I told you, hey, here's the deal. This is why people are committing suicide, because they can't find the reason that they're here on this earth. They have all these empty holes in them they can't fill. They become suicidally depressed. The drugs don't work. The alcohol don't work. Nothing works anymore. So they hang themselves from a doorknob, whatever that means. But the point is, this is what happens to human beings if they don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit. They become depressed, and their lives never matter. This is what we were created to do. But the guys in the pulpit, they don't want to preach that. The guys in the pulpit are too doggone concerned about how many people they have in the church this week. Can they make the church budget? Are they capable of this week of having more people than they had last week? Well, let's count how many people are in the pews. Let's take a look at how much offering we get. And if we said something that's going to piss off Joe and his family and they're going to leave and go somewhere else, we may not be able to make salary this week. So we can't do that. So we're going to go ahead and put our lace panties back on today, and we're going to tell everybody how happy they are, how wonderful they are, how much fun they're going to have in church. We're going to bring out the smoke, and we're going to bring out the lasers, and we're going to bring out these comedians, and we're going to bring out all this really good praise and worship. And they're going to leave here, and nobody's going to be convicted of sin. Nobody gets to talk about homosexuality. Nobody gets to talk about anything the Bible talks about as far as repentance. Heaven forbid we have repentance. And that's what's wrong with America today, Austin. We have a bunch of doggone candy boys in the pulpit who are too concerned about their 501(c)(3) status and their personal lifestyles to go out and preach the truth of the Word of God. And then what we've done, we've got all these other churches that are willing to let the people hear what their itching ears want to hear. And if they want to say it at that church, they'll go to the other church or to the next church or to the next church. So let's call it what it is. We've got a complete and total breakdown in the pulpits of the United States with a bunch of limp wrists, fairy boys,
who don't know how to preach the Word of God, who don't know how to preach anything, and all they want to do is let people hear what their itching ears want to hear. And until the pulpit man's back up and gets their testosterone levels back up and realize that we can't allow ourselves to compromise when it comes to the Word of God, we can't allow ourselves to do the things that we know we're not supposed to do. And we've got to tell the people who are listening in the pulpits, guys, it's not okay to do this. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Here they are. We can't allow this to go on in the church. We have to have some level of holiness in the church. Not that we're perfect. Not that we'll ever be perfect, but we can't just be living in sin. We can't be going out to the bar on Saturday night, picking up a bunch of whores, getting totally drunk, and showing up at the church on Sunday morning and have the pastor tell us, "Hope you had a good night last night. We're going to be happy, happy here today." No, it can't be that, guys. We've got to get men back in the pulpit who are willing to tell the truth. And guys, if you're in a church like that, you support that guy. You support the people that are preaching that way, because if there's so few and far between now, because again, it doesn't fill up churches because people don't want to hear the truth. If you know there's something that you're doing that's causing you to have problems and you need to make a change to correct these problems, you know, guys, let me give you a little word of advice. Guys, if you're having a problem with what you're looking at on the internet, why don't you just get rid of the internet? Or basically go one of those, get one of those Guardian things and put on your computer so you and your wife can review everything you look at every single week or every single month to make sure that you stay pure. Same thing for the ladies. If you've got a problem with drinking, if your mom's an alcoholic, if your dad's an alcoholic, don't put a wine cellar in your house and start boozing it. I've got a friend of mine who did that. His mom's an alcoholic. He's got a wine cellar in his house. I mean, my mom drank too much. My brother's an alcoholic. I avoid alcohol like it's the plague. Why? I don't need to have my DNA doing all that stuff. Learn to say no. Learn to avoid things that you know you're not supposed to do. If you know you got cable TV and you get movies in the house that you're watching you shouldn't be watching, just get rid of the cable TV. It doesn't make any difference. It's all junk anyhow. Learn to say no and to walk away. And if you can't do it, pray. Father, help me. Please help me, Lord. I've got a problem with this or that. I can't do this on my own. I've tried. I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and allow me to have your presence to give me the strength to allow me to say no to what I'm doing and to say yes to what I need to do. The other day, I gained a few pounds back over the holidays, whatever, being gone in the motorhome. And I prayed during our prayer time. I said, "Lord, I need some help. I got to drop this 10 pounds. I got to drop it down. You got to help me with this, Lord. Please, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name," along with all the other stuff that we pray about, including praying for you guys every day. And boy, I tell you what, it just hit me. I said, "Okay, Holy Spirit, thank you." And I've been nailing it every day now. Weight's already down 4 pounds. And I'm like, "Thank you, Holy Spirit." Why? I didn't let it get to 20 pounds or 30 pounds or 40 pounds or 50 pounds or 100 pounds. I caught it when it was 10 pounds. And I said, "I'm not going to allow this to happen." That's how sin creeps into your life. You say, "Well, being 10 pounds overweight, it's not sin." Look, here's the thing, guys. If you know something that you're supposed to do it and you don't do it, to you it's a sin. That's what the Word says. If you know that God wants you to be a certain way and you're not doing it and you're being in disobedience, it's a sin. It doesn't work any other way. That's what the Bible says. We're being led by the Holy Spirit. We're being guided by the Holy Spirit. He tells us, "Okay, look, maybe you want to get this under control. Maybe you don't exercise enough and you want God to help you to get you back in the gym and to work out. All you got to do is pray like you do." Remember the old German thing I told you that my grandmother made? "Zwei Leben stutzen brechen nie. Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie." There's two fundamental principles in life that can never be broken. Gebet is prayer, und Arbeit, and that's work. There's two principles that can never be broken in life. That's prayer and work. Guys, you got to pray like it's all up to God, and you got to work like it's all up to you. And guys, the results that you get are so over the top. Because when you're led by the Holy Spirit, God will put you in the right place at the right time every time. Opportunities will come your way. Experiences will come your way you never dreamed possible. Why? Because you're being led by the Holy Spirit, and you're walking in obedience. The Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. What does that mean? That means I'm willing to do that. I'm obedient to do that. And I got a good attitude when I'm doing it. I'm not going to be all mad because I can't eat pork. I'm not going to be all mad because I shouldn't eat shellfish. I'm not going to be mad about that. I'm just going to pick something else on the menu. Willing and obedient, ye shall eat the fruit of the land. That's what the Word says. And guys, if we live like that, it changes everything. Austin, what do you think?
Well, you're exactly right, man. That was awesome. And I mean, then this is the aspect that a lot of people have to continue to realize with this, because we have so many things going on right now. There's so many different areas that are pulling on us, and it's more and more and more. I mean, they know this now. You know, we're not all living out on the hill in the wilderness, farming, living with our family. We're, you know, doing just stuff by ourselves and, you know, having people in town and stuff like that back in what was with the settler days. We're not in that point anymore. You know, we have everything, as Dad just talked about, constantly pulling us in every direction. So we have to do our best to know if we have something that really, really is a significant issue that's causing conflict or causing issues, we have to do our best to try to stay away from it. And like Dad said, rely on God to help us the best we can to prevent us from doing those things and slowly back away from them. Also, too, in other news, I thought this was interesting now. A plan to split California into three states has now earned the spot on the November ballot. If majority of voters who cast ballots agree in November, a long and arduous process would begin for three separate states to take place of California. It would primarily be Northern California, Southern California, and Maine, California. Completion of the radical plan basically would have significant amount of hurdles. However, it could be possible. It'd be the first division of an existing U.S. state since the creation of West Virginia in 1863. In the initiative's introductory passage, Draper argues that the vast parts of California are very poorly served by representative government dominated by a large number of elected representatives from a small part of the state, both geographically and economically. So I got to do some more research and see what I think about this. As far as California splitting off from the country, that doesn't seem to be getting any type of foothold so far, which is good, because that was the big aspect of what the globalists wanted to do to carve up our country. However, given California being at the size that it is and the population density that it is, being number one in the entire country as far as population density, they really do need some true representation, especially of Northern California. Northern California is a beautiful place. And a lot of people up there are still fairly conservative. And the fact that a lot of people in probably 70 to 80% of that state are dictated to by a very small amount of people in the capital, in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, that are primarily hardcore leaning leftist Democrats, and they essentially have to follow the law of what these guys tell them to do, isn't fair. It's really not. If California wants to have their incredibly liberal, transgender, anti-gun, leftist part of the state, they can have that. That's fine. And so they need to go ahead and have what they need to have. My biggest concern with reading this is that Southern California is essentially going to turn into a secondary Mexico 2.0. That's one of my biggest concerns about this, and this would be the first step in breaking up California to sell it off. However, I do have to think about the individuals in Northern California that are stuck in this just slop over there with all these just unbelievably restrictive gun laws and everything else. So we'll follow this and see what happens with it, and we'll kind of see how it's going to go. But it would give those guys an opportunity to vote again on repealing a lot of these gun bills and everything else they have in Northern California, and actually have people represent them that are truly for the people, by the people, not the leftist Democrats that are for the illegal immigration and further gun bills being taken away. So that's my take on it, Dad, but we'll definitely have to keep an eye on it. What do you think?
Absolutely right. I mean, quite frankly, California needs to be split up a little bit to get the conservatives a better voice. What they're doing right now and basically being forced into this collectivist mentality because of L.A. in San Francisco is nonsense. By the way, in France, a concert is scheduled for a Muslim rapper who extorts followers to kill those who reject a Muslim state. Just thought I'd mention this. This guy released an album named Jihad that calls for the beheading of all seculars. That'd be me and you, Austin, because we're not Muslim. And is scheduled to perform at the Bacalan Theater, where the Muslim radicals reportedly killed 90 people in November of 2015. Not like we need to crank that back up again over there in France. Secularists are defined as those who reject the combination of religion with state power, i.e. being Muslim, controlling the state. This has triggered a wave of protest and a demand for the government to force the cancellation of the performances, which are an insult to the memory of the victims of this former attack. Gosh, guys, these guys are like nuts. It's like this doggone one more article that we got to go, or I got to go. This whole group of people that we've got a transgender track meet in which these guys are running as girls, and they're basically beating the girls, and now they're unbelievably upset the girls are. What type of madness is this? What type of, the word is madness. What type of mental illness is this that you can compete as a girl when you were born as a boy and you got testicles? Unbelievable that this is going on with all the testosterone these boys are producing at that age. Ugh. Guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for hearing me in my little preaching rant today. I love you guys. I appreciate you. It was my privilege and honor to pray for you guys today. And guys, I'll say one thing about this group. When I pray with you guys, we get things done. I appreciate you. I love you. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. Be sure if you guys need anything at all, check us out at healthmasters.com. We're here to help you guys out the best we possibly can. We have lots of different sales and specials running for you guys to help try to save you as much money as possible, including the B-Complex Super Sale and the Ultimate Multiple Fit Food Vegan Sale, which is on sale till tonight. It'll basically be ending tomorrow. So be sure to check that out if you wanted to grab that, and also to the Doug 5 coupon on non-sale items and non three packs or specials, that is still active till tonight as well. Also, too, I wanted to let you guys know, I've got a lot of feedback on this because people were asking me about it. The Vive Restorative Scalp Cream that we were working on, we needed to reformulate it. This basically goes hand in hand with the shampoo and conditioner, but it still can be used by itself. I've actually been using this product personally as my hair is still in pretty good shape, but as I've gotten older, I've noticed the stress and everything else is not as thick as it used to be. So I've been using this product now that we got it in this week. So it is on the website. We do have it in inventory, so be sure to check it out. It's a really, really cool product. The organic ingredients, the raw aspect of the nutrients that are put in this product are pretty much beyond anything you're going to find on the market, guys. You can compare this to everything. And you guys know I don't push skin products, hair products, because I really don't care about it unless I can find something that really works. And that's what we've done with this product this year. So be sure if you want the whole kit, the four-pack, it's on the website at the front of healthmasters.com, or you can grab the scalp cream by itself under the Vive Restoration Scalp Cream on the website at Health Masters. If you guys need anything, let us know. We're here to help. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.